Okay, we're back with our question and answer session. I have a procedure, which is that if you have a question, you can send it to my address, which is the upper left of the homepage, which is comcast.net. Once a week, I usually pull those off, and I print them all out, and I put them in a notebook. And then I try to get into the try to figure out so some of the questions have to do with things we haven't even discussed yet. But they're in the notebook, and when I get around to it, I'll be able to address them. For example, there's questions on the goal tee and the questions on long-term strategies. Those are going to be picked up. That section of the books, which goes back some time, will be taken care of next week because I have these long-term charts from 95 to 90, and I took them for a whole bunch of things, and I can reproduce them. And there's enough information in the advanced decline line there to show you a lot of interesting things is can be taken care of. Some of the questions are very technical, and I'll just cover those as we go along. Okay, so I have a question from Mark, who is he's a long-term viewer of Teeth Theory, and he was wondering if he could contribute in some way towards the putting Teeth Theory onto a DVD, and therefore getting a better way to distribute the concept. I turned this over to my business partner, Paula Burke, who will take care of, who's worked for me for 25 years, and she'll contact him. They live close together geographically. And, I think it's pretty close geographically. And but the answer is that, first of all, I have to complete my study, which is going to go into a book form, because it's very important to show this business of the fact that all tops have can be explained as echoes of the previous advanced decline line top. I'm sure that's true, but you got to get all your ammunition up in a row before you get it, because people will criticize it and so forth. Some of that's going to be taken care of by the end of this summer, but a lot of it won't be taken care of until the year end. And so I'll have to have that before I get on to any of these other addresses. The most I'm doing now is I'm collecting these questions, because part of the book that I'm going to do, it doesn't cost much to make books anymore. It's all computerized. You just send them a PDF file of the book with pages all there, and they just print it up. And I don't know, maybe they print them up in Japan and China or something like that. In any case, what we're doing on these questions is there'll be a section there, a Q&A, and I'll go through and try to filter out what questions that people might ask, and then I'll just have these copies of these questions put into the chapter, and perhaps it'll help somebody else. In any case, Mark wants to know about doing something else, and that is I got to get the basic stuff taken care of. The other interesting thing that I just got last week is from Debbie. She's a young mother raising three kids that look fairly young, and she trades the E-mini S&P, and she says, "I don't stay with my trades for more than 15 minutes." She uses Walter Bressett's software and SMI, whatever that is. And SMI, that's her cash buildup line. And she does mention that the there is a divergence, a way of using divergence analysis to tell whether the short range T is going, this is done on 5-minute charts. So, I mean, you get a lot of them coming by. And they don't have anything to do with what I'm talking about here. So I will talk to her about that later on, but I have a lot of work piled up in front of me, so I'm not going to do that one. I don't want to do that one, get involved in that one, because that's a really, really difficult job. You just got so much data, and things are going by so fast, it makes you feel kind of old when you're looking for the long-term trend for 2 years when somebody's trades never last more than 15 minutes. It's probably because the kids are there, they probably don't have they're not probably leaving her alone for more than 15 minutes. Okay, so she said, "Thanks for asking my question on the website. I was surprised to hear from you. I was really intrigued to see how Teeth Theory works to such precision. There's no perfection in this business, but magic tea is the closest you can get for accuracy." Well, I hope she remembers that when I blow something. So, but I wish her good luck, and I'll be in touch with her later on the other questions. Another question on interest rates. 2 or 3 years ago, you commented on a long T forming in interest rates. Recently, they have started moving up. Could you comment on the future of interest rates? That, you know, when I get really old and I'm approaching the drooling stage, I have to go back and do my interest rate T's. That was one of the most interesting projects that I did. I found out that you could do T's in interest rates, and what they did is they projected market bottoms. That's the missing link in T theory, because even when you look at these bottoms, the BC bottoms in our today's chart, there's no way to predict those. Unfortunately, I started that project, and they worked for a while, and then they went off, and so I'm doing something wrong, and it's best in this business, if you're doing something wrong, not to comment on it. The only thing I would say is that the fact that interest rates are rising now is that people think that the economy is going to recover. They try to shroud this in political terms, that they don't like the Democratic presidential posture, spending a lot of money and so forth. But it's just that's pretty much of a normal thing to happen. And what they find out is that right now, earnings, maybe they're not so great, and they worry about the interest rates, but as the stimulus package takes hold and you get a lot of people laid off, and the prices from the producer side are very, very low, what's going to happen is as soon as you get an uptick in the economy, earnings are going to explode. And when the earnings start to explode, that's why you get these run-ups, because they don't care about the higher interest rates anymore, because they're all infatuated with equities. Today, the market's going to open down 1.5%, according to the open conditions, so they're not really amored in that right now, and so they're looking for something to worry about in the permanent. But as far as that study is concerned, it's very important, because it does have the potential to find out where lows are, but and that is predict the dates ahead of time. But it went off askew, and it's so complicated, and I have so many other jobs to take care of that I haven't done it, so I won't comment on it. But maybe I'll take a look at it. I'll incorporate an interest rate chart in my next week when I look at from 1995 to the present, to 09. I didn't have that in my repertory for next week's discussion. So I'll take one of those in, and maybe I'll take a look at it and make a comment on it. But basically, it's not my major project right now. Let's see. What's the other things we had? Okay, Donald asks, is this recent rally the start of a bull market or just a bear market rally? The answer is you would say that the minimum you should get a 50% retracement. That's just plain known to be true. I would suspect that if we find out that there's minimal correction between the ending of the last T and starting of the next T, what you're going to do, if you notice in the chart there, you see the S&P has come up in the right side of the blue T in the today's chart. If you go through a sideways correction phase and then you run up again, the next T will give you an equivalent run. And so, you know, the distance you come up could be tagged on to the last bottom before you start the new T. And that could get you up 50% of the way. The advanced decline chart that I did shows that you're well passing that and, you know, the advanced decline line could go quite high. Not that you can't buy the advanced decline line, so it doesn't tell you anything. But you never know how, with all the stimulus money out there, how somebody isn't going to start getting greedy when you look out into the August of next year period. So I would say everybody's saying it's a bear market rally, but sometimes everybody's wrong. Okay. The other question, which comes from Jason, is similar, and I would say that you just have to go with the fact that it's a bullish T. So, you know, they keep throwing them on, and they have these corrections, but the corrections really are relatively modest. Sometimes they're 50% of the last run up, but not right now. So you'll have plenty of time, and that's better to just discover it, because T's do not have any inherent ability to project rallies. Where you can win this game, which I will discuss next week, is if you're smart to pick your investments, and that's the place where you pick the investments that don't have the problem. You got better ahead. So maybe you should just take a look at that before we get too far into it. Okay, now we always get back to this question of the from Penn is the part where I made the error in the projection. What I basically did was I took the time from AB, and I tagged that amount of time, which is the 17 months, and I came off the B bottom instead of the C bottom to project it, and I got that one in too early. And he corrected me on this in August, and he says, "Are there two interpretations?" Well, if you listen to today's argument, the double top is the fact that there are two. There's an ambiguity at the center post, therefore there's going to be an ambiguity via the reflection. In the audio world, they call that reverberation, where you get two echoes, where you have a sound and you get a second echo and it's called reverberation. And that because I remember reading this on Wikipedia, and anyway, so the double tops that you get is a reverberation. My error is not the reverberation one though. I have to correct that, but I didn't in my equations. I didn't ever look at the spacing between B and C as being important. Now that I see that's the source of the reverberation, I have to build up a whole table of these dates, and I'll add to them to this chart, and then when we come back, we'll look to it, and that'll answer his question. The answers may be wrong, but it will answer his question in any case. Now, every once in a while, we get these technical problems, and the technical problem is almost always caused by some computer glitch, which happens to be showing up everywhere. Now, I'm a longtime Mac user, and I don't usually run into too many of these glitches, but I know that most people are using Windows, and sometimes you get caught up with either you've got a new computer, there's a glitch. Sometimes glitches show up no matter what the operating system is, and the question we have here is from Grahamd. That must be an acronym for Herbert. Oh no, it's from Graham. I'm sorry, it's from Graham. He signed it. What program do I need to hear your audio messages? Well, I convert it to MP3 using a program which produces the audio text MP3 because everybody should be able to pick on that. And when you click on the link, download link, the file comes down to your computer. It's supposed to know that it's an MP3 file, and it switches it over to into either. It depends on what you're using, but on Windows, it's likely to be Windows Media application, and on a Mac, it's a QuickTime. And so the answer is, unless you didn't double-click on it or something like that, or the program or the computer is new and it hasn't been activated to run that's what the problem is. A secondary problem came about from another person who said last week, he says, he has been listening to the audio, but the audio then disappeared, and he couldn't download last week's audio. That's usually a problem with that's a difficult one. There's nothing I can say about that one because what you should do is if you can't re re if you can't re if you do can't hear today this week, what you should do is go back and li but you did listen to last week's is just go back and click on the link from last week's file, and that will tell you whether the computer can do it or not. What we do is after I post all the things, I go listen to everything, and I make sure the charts all come up and that everything is played back. But I can have Lori, who does my transcription, check on her Windows computer just to make sure there's no flaw on the whole deal. But basically, I mean, it's coming through, and nobody else is asking the questions, so you have to go someplace there. Now we have to get to Glenn. He says, is it true that the 55-day mid envelope, which is on the black line on the chart, should support for most of the 17-month bull run? Is he correct on that? The answer is it's more complicated than that. Right now, the only important thing to say is that's true now. So if you had a very sharp breakdown because they didn't like something or other, it would be expected that the 15-day moving average is the whole point, and you can see that in the chart. But basically, the evolution is one, and it's a liquidity concept. So right now, you've got a lot of people that are interested in buying because they're seeing all kinds of signs of a turnaround. After you run the next short range tee off, everybody that wants to buy will have bought, and you're going to find out that you have less liquidity left to catch your corrections. So the corrections start going below the 55-day moving average. that deals with envelope theory, and but I haven't got the envelopes on this chart because they're not my. This chart was done by a very fine company that doesn't do envelopes. What you really need is something like long-term Bollinger Bands on here or something to do that. However, I would point out that in the charts here, you can actually see the percentage drops, and that's one way to do it is to look at evolutions of market advances. You see the greatest bull market you ever had coming up from 95 to various places in here. You can see what the correction is, and you can see what it is in price, and so you can figure out the percentage of it, and that pretty much gives you a clue what your risk is going to be. You also want to look at the at how much it came back as a proportion to how much it ran up, because if you have a big run up and then you have an unpleasant correction, but it's just a small percentage, it's not a big problem. The problem is that sometimes you get a 50% correction, and that's the one that comes up near the top. That's the reproduction of the BC bottom business. So that's all I've got on that one. But when we get to the short range T chart, we'll know more there, because I would say that the worst you can do now is go down to the 55-day envelope if everybody wants to get upset about something or other, which is probably imagined. But the next time we draw a T, when you come up, you would go down to the green line. You go through the black line to the green line in most cases, or you would have to assume that was the case when you get to the end of the next T, and you can work that out as you go along. Now, volume oscillator for individual stocks, that is a threat from when? And the answer is that I don't do anything on that one, but I have a lot of interesting things to show you next week relative to possibilities for a couple of different sectors, which I'm going to talk about. And so I'll try to get into more detail at that point. And comes up with this question that's been coming up I've been in this business for 35 years. It shows up every 5 years. I'm wondering about the AD line. As you know, there's a lot of talk about the AD line not being as useful anymore due to a large number of non-common stock securities included. Decision Point has specifically created a common stock only AD line to counter this issue. They did this 10 or 15 years ago. It doesn't make any difference. The answer is that the fact that you have income stocks, which could be preferred stocks or other things, I looked at the funds, and convertible bond funds versus the S&P and so forth, and there's not enough of a divergence to make a big, you're kind of making a mountain out of a molehill business here, because they're all financial instruments tend to go up together. As long as they're just not treasury bonds, do have a different path to form. But a lot of the income related things act very much like equities with a high dividend to them. And so I would say that I wouldn't become concerned about it, but you know, the fact that Decision Point has it there, if you want to use it, you can use it. Since we only use turning points on it, I don't think the turning points have any cause the T's to change or anything like that. Okay, so let's see. This is a good question. Okay, Donald comes back with this. Thanks for your effort. This is back from June 7th. I have a question as to the 15-month advance in the historic sector. Do they normally get retested in the case of the 666 S&PX low? Is the situation as planned? That relates to today's chart. You see, the BC bottom is only identifiable from the fact that you look at both the S&P and you look at the advanced decline line. Because if you're trying to call for a retest on the fact that the S&P went down to a much lower than the mid-November low, and then you don't see that the BC bottom and the advanced decline line is basically the double bottom, then you're looking for another one. But if you look at them both together, then you see that's probably taken care of. Now, the opposite situation is seen back at the end of 2002. is a very, very, very simple question. How come you've got a B and C bottom, and they're not even a bottom? Because the bottom has occurred at least by 2001. You know, it came down, it made a low in 2000, it comes down, and you're in getting into 2001. You've got 9/11 to deal with, and the advanced decline line is carrying up. Then it pulls back down. Now, the B and C bottoms are, the fact that B and C has to be seen in both the S&P and the advanced decline line makes this the only combination. There, if you look in the S&P, you can see there is an earlier bottom. There's actually a triple bottom there because there's a bottom earlier than late 2002, and I didn't pick that up. And that's because one of the bottoms has to be a bottom in the advanced decline line, so the B has to be where it is, not the little dip, it's about a quarter of an inch earlier. That has to do with the rules, and a reason I don't get into that is because I know what they are because I've seen all the T's from history. But that's basically what it is you've got to look at both of them together, and since most people don't put the two charts together, there's a little bit of an ambiguity on that one. So you would say they did make the retest, and you don't have to make it again. And that will be verified by the fact that whatever correction we see before we start the next short-range T is mild, and then if you make the second T's run roughly comparable to the first rally that we have, then you're pretty much in the question. The previous example is pretty well laying out the roadmap of what's going to happen. So we'll wait on that one. Okay. Okay. Now, relative to when should you listen to your thoughts on RSI? I don't have I don't get into that too much. But when I do my next charts, I think I have that's the one I decided was the closest to the volume oscillator. And I see that Debbie is using something else, but that could be a proprietary thing from Bressett, so I'm not sure on that one. Actually, the important thing on those oscillators, you have to look at long-term oscillators as well as intermediate and short-term oscillators, because the picture keeps flipping back as you go in, because sometimes you see big bottoms and you're coming out of it and you get confused by the fact that you have a little short-term corrections are being indicated in the short-term picture, but they're going to get overrun, steamrolled by the bigger picture. So I just leave that as a case. Now, I think this is another Don Curran. What happened to the forecast about the 40-year cycle? He put this on the 7th. The next day I did the 40-year cycle. And I think and the question, why did it flip over? The answer is that there is nothing in T theory that says there has to be a cyclicality to the stock market. All T's can be assumed to have a cash buildup phase and then a symmetrical run-up in the right side, if as long as you measure the cash buildup in the advanced decline T. So I just relate this to advanced decline T's. You measure the advanced decline T cash buildup, and you get the rally in the bottom zones. But if you look at successive T's or historical T's, it's completely random. The cash buildup phase is a completely random with respect to the previous T. So you can get a 17-month cash buildup phase after a 4.5-year cash buildup phase. And there really isn't any reason why you can't do that, because it's a natural phenomenon. And if the Federal Reserve wants to put a gun up to people's heads and say, borrow the money, or we'll shoot you, they'll borrow the money. And then once you get money in, it's a liquidity concept, and so you can force the T. You can be suspicious of that, but basically when you look at T's, they do not seem to be able to be reproducing cash buildup times, and therefore the pattern of T's from one T to another is completely random, but inside the T, when you define the cash buildup phase correctly, it's completely non-random. That means that you can never locate the center post of the T, so there's nothing you can do about that. That adapts to the situation. Okay, so this is an example of something there isn't too much you can do. He says, the audio for June 7th, 8th won't play beyond the first couple of words, then I get a disconnect. If you hear the others from this problem, I hope you can reformat the audio. I always check the audio. When I finish this, I'll upload it and I'll listen to it. And my business partner will listen to it, and Lori, my transcriber, will listen to it. So, it's sometimes if you just restart the computer, there isn't anything really seriously wrong. But you should have checked it to see if the earlier one still played out, because that you can diagnose the problem indirectly. Okay, so now the rest of them are, I have a mark in my book now as to how far I've gotten back, and then I'll try to answer some more of those because some of those begin to get into stocks and some of the questions I covered are stocks. So that's it for this week, so we'll have to see how things go. And if there's anything really important on the downside, I would just say that it could be the classic climb going back to the 55-day moving average, but it keeps trying to do that, and then somebody wants to buy, so I can't go beyond what I said before. Okay, that's it for this week, and we'll be back in a week from now. Thank you. Bye-bye.